I'm Marianne Myers. I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning.
We don't need no stinking music.
We don't. Although on any other day, I would argue that we all need music, but not now. Very happy to see you, Linda.
Nice to see you. I got my apron on.
I know you do. You're ready to talk food and home cooking, and we're really lucky this morning because we have a special guest. Norma Hernandez is here to talk maybe Puerto Rican food.
Yeah. Good morning, Norma. Buenos dias. But I feel underdressed. I forgot my apron.
Well, I know. You and I are not. And I forgot my hot mitts. But I have them in the car.
Okay.
Does that count?
Yes.
I hope it does.
Yes.
I didn't get the memo of the dress code.
Oh, yeah, I know.
God. Linda.
Linda is going to, you know, represent for all of us. Anyway, welcome. We're really happy to have you here, and I'm just really excited to talk about Puerto Rican food because I have been lucky for several years to be able to eat your cooking, girl.
Oh, it is so good, and this is part of my training. And we're going to Puerto Rico on Wednesday night, so I think I started thinking of all the foods going back home. And what do I need to bring? Mm-hmm. And of course, they're asking, "What are you bringing me?"
Yes, that's right. Do you have a list?
Well, yeah. You know, my Indian name travels with food. Because I have to always 2 pieces of luggage and one is food.
Oh,
always going in. My sister already called and she already wants a smoked cheese from Tillamook. You know the Tillamook smoked cheese. Also, she loves the smoked salmon. And vodka mama pulova because they don't have that one in Puerto Rico. So, you know, she's like, are you going to bring some vodka? I'm like, okay, mama pulova coming up. And smoked fish and sturgeon and trying just getting. And she actually wanted it. When I used to work at the oyster company many years ago, I used to bring like high pressure oysters to Puerto Rico. So now they're always missing it. And like, you know, I said, well, no, I'm not taking an hour trek just to bring you oysters. You have oysters here. So, you know. But, oh, yeah, they already have their whole list of food that I should bring to them.
Linda, do you ever cook anything that's uniquely Puerto Rican or here's Caribbean
the,
even?
Here's the thing. I was actually really excited that Norma was going to be on the show because I really don't know very much. And what that means is nothing at all about Puerto Rican cooking. And in fact, when I go to, you know, the Puerto Rican Cuban restaurant in town, what I do is I text Norma and ask her what I should order. And that's what I do because I'm embarrassed. I just don't know anything about it. In fact, my husband was raised there and I just,
really?
Yeah. And I just don't know. And so I'm actually really excited that you're here. I was wondering, you know, in America, I was thinking like we have things that are very uniquely American, like hot dog and corn on the cob. But I think like the things that are like most Americans eat the most of are probably hamburgers and pizza. And I wondered what those things are in Puerto Rico. What are the big popular things that everybody eats?
Alcapurrias. I will say that would be like our alcapurrias is this, it's a fritter that it's made out of different root vegetables.
Okay.
It has some green banana, a little bit of plantain, but it has, some of them have some yuca, the cassava. And they usually inside have either ground beef, or have crab.
Okay.
Ooh. And it's fried, and that's why you eat by the beach. And every time, like, we all go to Puerto Rico, the first thing is, like I already told my sister when Dulce Taylor that she's going with me, I said, as soon as we get off the airport, the area by the beach that you eat, like, all this fried, cool food, it's by the airport. It's kind of our first stop, be at the reef to have, a scotch and coconut water. Trust me, it tastes good. People roll their eyes when I say this, but when they have it, it's awesome. And scotch and coconut water, and it has like alcapurria or something called bacalaito.
What's that?
Which is a codfish fritter.
Ooh, yum.
And they are like, sometimes they look like a sheet. Man, you can just wrap yourself in them if people use a lot. But it's supposed to be a small, and it's just with flour and a little bit of cilantro and onion and codfish. And with the flour and water, and it's just like a little dough, but it has codfish in it.
And it's deep fried?
And it's deep fried.
Okay.
Almost everything is deep fried. We love stuff.
So they sort of sound like the thing that I would relate them to is maybe like a conch fritter, that kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay.
But the conch fritter tends to be like more like a little ball, and
okay.
This one is more flat.
Okay. Well, and then because they're deep fried, you know, I don't do a lot of deep frying at home. Do people make these at home, though? Do you do a lot of deep frying at home?
Oh, yeah, you do a lot of deep frying at home. But also the other way that we love bacalao is something, which is the catfish, the salted catfish. Bacalao, we love it also on, like in a salad that is called a serenata, which is like a serenade.
Oh.
And where it is, you boil the catfish, and then you really take it apart. You make sure that it's not salty. Sometimes we just leave it in water and boil it twice. Mm-hmm. So it will not be salty, but you still want the salt inside the catfish.
Mm-hmm. Just not overwhelming.
And, not overwhelming. And then we make like a salad with it. You put like stuff, olives, you know, pimento stuff, olives. Mm-hmm. You put onions, and you have avocado, tomato, and lettuce. And you make this salad. And you serve it on top of root vegetables like yuca, and ñame, malanga, all these different roots, like different kinds of taro roots, and that you just put that on top, and it is amazing. And that is something that I very rarely make here because I don't find the right root vegetables, but that's one of the things that I go home, and that's what I want.
Mm.
I want bacalao and vianda, which is just the salted catfish. I also like to make the salted catfish just like in a pickle way, but you still boil it, but then you just take like oil, vinegar, peppercorns, bay leaves, and red onion. And you just put the bacalao with that, cook it with that, and then you put it on top of the root vegetables.
Mm.
And that is amazing. Trust me.
It's a Puerto Rican salad niçoise.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And then the other thing that we eat a lot, it's, I'm sorry, I'm answering my sister. She's like, oh, you're on the radio? One of the things, it's pork. In many different ways, we eat pork. You know, we Puerto Ricans, my friends from Boston. That's what my friends from Boston said. And you guys are Puerto Ricans.
And we're porkagon here.
Yeah, I'm porkagon. So yeah, we love pork. But I was thinking on the way here, I said, what do we use sometimes to marinate that we go, is pork, everything, and it's sour orange. Mm-hmm. And people here don't know really about sour orange.
We can't have it. We don't have access to it.
And every once in a while, when the co-op will bring the fresh sour oranges. So maybe this is something that we need to ask Danny whenever we're just like, when are you bringing sour oranges?
So this is a fruit and it's called sour orange?
Yeah, it's an orange, but it's sour.
Okay.
So it's like a mixture of a lemon and an orange.
Okay.
And that is the best base to marinate everything. Instead of using just lemon or instead of using vinegar, we use the sour orange. Like when I do my rice, always when I season my meat is with sour orange, a side of salt and pepper and oregano, but that is sour orange. It's the base.
Never even heard of it.
Oh, and fish and chicken with it. It's awesome. It really gives it, it gives it for me and it makes it more tender. It is so awesome. I recommend people to really.
Can you get sour orange juice? You know how you can get lemon juice in a bottle or fresh squeezed lemon juice in a bottle or a lime? Sour orange?
Yeah. Actually, Safeway used to bring it, and then they stopped. Sometimes I find it at Fred Meyer's, of course, in the Latino aisle. But in the Mexican store in Longview, they always have sour orange. And much of all the stores in Portland, they have sour orange in a bottle.
Uh-huh.
So it's easier because you open it and you just put it in the refrigerator.
It's as good, but it's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah, sour orange, I always recommend people, definitely. Yeah, naranja agria.
Can't wait to try it.
Oh, naranja. I think I have several bottles. I should bring you one so you can. Yeah, I have several bottles at home because every time I see it, I buy two or three bottles and bring it just in case that I run out.
I'm intrigued.
Awesome. Sour orange, it's very good just to marinate any kinds of meats, any kind of meat or poultry or seafood. Instead of using the lemon, use the sour orange.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a different kick there.
You know, one of the things that everyone who knows Norma requests if we're going to go to her house or she's going to bring food somewhere, without exception, literally, this is like inarguable that we would any of us request your rice with pigeon peas.
Oh, el arroz con gandules.
Yes.
And the funny thing that my rice, the one that I made, it's really a version of the original. The original rice in Puerto Rico, the rice with pigeon peas, does not have the pork inside. You usually roast the pork. You have roasted pork like the shoulder, and that's when you have it on the side. And when I was living in Boston, and I live on the third floor, and in the second floor, it was this old Puerto Rican lady named Doña Carmen. And Doña Carmen was the one who did the rice like that. And when I tried it, it was for me like, oh my God, this is a lot easier than roasting the pork in a way, because sometimes it comes out good, sometimes it doesn't. But it was like so good to have that meat that it just comes apart in your mouth. It's like almost melts.
So tell us how you make it.
Exactly.
Yes. I always, 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 when I'm going to use my arroz con gandules, I always use pork shoulder. That is the meat that I always like to use. From as much as I love pork, I don't like pork loin. It's too hard to cook, too dry, never comes out perfect, and never grabs the flavor.
Yeah, pork shoulder is so cheap, and it's so underappreciated. It's such a luxurious cut of meat. Yeah.
I could just swim, in bats of pork shoulder. It's like, oh my God, this is so. But pork shoulder, and what I do, I use something called adobo. You know, we Puerto Ricans are very big into Goya, the Goya brand. Because okay. If it's Goya, it's got to be good. According, you know, you grow up with this, and this is what you do.
Is that a spice?
And it's just an adobo, and it's just a seasoning that it has a lot of stuff in it.
Is it in a can?
And it's in a little bottle that is has the one that I, and it comes in different. Some of them come with sour orange. Some of them come with lemon. I use the one that is in the yellow label. Like Safeway and Fred Meyer's both have them. So it's this yellow label. And what I do, I take my meat, I'll cut it in chunks. Mm-hmm. And I usually do that the day before. And I put sour orange, make sure it has good sour orange. And I add adobo, which is this adobo. It has all the seasonings already there.
Oh, and adobo. Extra thought you said alo. I'm so sorry.
Adobo. but the adobo sauce that they use in Mexico is a whole different thing.
Okay. For us, it's just a powder. And Filipino food is, I think, adobo too, maybe, and maybe different combinations.
And combinations. But it's just like salt, pepper, powdered onion, powdered garlic, and you just make lots of it with it. You really cover the meat with it. And a little bit extra pepper. I always like to add a little bit of black pepper. And you let it overnight. So that meat really get all these juices of the salt. You get everything coated. And the following day, I start cooking it in a very low heat. And I actually cook the meat like 2 hours, depending on the amount.
On the stove, in the oven?
On the stove, I have a big, what I call the redneck pot. I have this set of calderos, and they are called calderos. It's these aluminum pots that I have, like, 3 of them that is, like...
They're huge.
The kid, mom, and dad. I always call it mom and papa. And papa, mom, I think I could cook, like, 30 pounds of food in
Holy
it. And papa, I think, is, like, 35 o'clock. It is ridiculous, the amount of food that it can fit in there. But I start cooking that in a low, low heat. And for several hours, because I just really want that meat to keep absorbing when it's really simmering there. And then on the side, when the 2 hours are up, I start doing a sofrito. And my sofrito, all Puerto Ricans and Caribbean, I believe Cubans and Dominicans, it's something that we start all our cooking with that. And the sofrito is, you take a little bit of green peppers, you take tomatoes. Sometimes my family does it without tomatoes, but cilantro, culantro. Do you guys know what culantro is? Or regao, which is this a very long leaf. It's cilantro's cousin, and it's this very long leaf that actually the edges are like segregated in a way. It looks like sharp things that it can poke you, but that has this very strong flavor.
Do you use it fresh or dried?
Fresh. Okay. We all use it fresh.
Okay.
And onions and garlic and a little bit of salt. And sometimes oregano brujo, which is the Cuban oregano. That is a big leaf that is like velvety. And you take all that, you put it on a food processor, and you make this like green concoction. My mother used to do it that she would put it in ice cubes.
Uh-huh.
And then every time it was freezing, so every time she was going to cook, she would just take an ice cube and put it, and that it's already like a measurement.
Okay.
I don't do that. I have like these bags of plastic bags that my sister brings me or I bring when I go to Puerto Rico. And that's, I just use a couple of spoonfuls. And you start making that, you do that base in a different pot, and I add pork fat. The pork fat, I let it get crunchy. And you just cut it very sliced, which it's, you can also find it here in the two supermarkets. It's just like the cure kind of it. And you just cut it up in pieces, let it get crunchy, add the sofrito, add sazon, add fresh cilantro. And you just let that marinate and get all those flavors, just juices running. Then add the pigeon peas that also you can find in town. In both big supermarkets. And
do you buy them dried? Do you buy them in a can?
No, in a can.
Okay.
And they are called pigeon peas in English, but it's gandules. And you add that. And I usually, what I do, I add the rice to the meat.
What kind of rice do you use?
I use medium grain.
Okay.
And if when I go to Puerto Rico, I like to bring short grain. Because that's what I grew up. And it's just like, for me, it tastes better. I don't know why my head tastes better. Because it doesn't have like other... Sometimes I think that the long grain has like a flavor, like a more strawy flavor.
It's really stuck up, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's like,
it thinks it's super special.
It thinks it's super special, yeah. And I'm like, not with that one. So I add the rice to the meat. I make sure that the rice gets covered with all the juices of the meat. And then I add this whole other sofrito that I made and check that I have enough water. And it usually, you know, my friend Tara always says, yeah, I prefer that she does it. I don't want to learn because it just takes too long. But it's like everything you guys know. When you do it with love, it takes time.
Yes.
You just cannot just put it there. Honey.
And your house smells incredibly good all day long.
All day long. Everybody keeps coming from the driveway. It's like, oh, she's cooking. It's the sofrito.
What do you think the proportions are? Like, is it 3 pounds meat, 1 pound rice, and half a pound of sofrito? Like, what do you think the proportions are about?
That'd be a lot of sofrito.
But yeah, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I will say maybe... If you are, let's say that we're doing 1 pound of meat, if it's only for two people.
Okay.
It's hard for me because lately I usually cook, it's like, 10 pounds of meat.
Well, you can tell me
10
that.
Pounds of rice. And it will be, I would say, the sofrito. I usually, if I'm doing those big bats that I do, I use like 2 cups of sofrito.
Okay. So 10 pounds of meat, 10 pounds of rice, and then 2 cups
and
of sofrito.
I usually do like 2 of the big cans of pigeon peas. That is approximately like almost 4 pounds of pigeon peas.
So do you mean like the 28-ounce cans?
Yeah.
Yeah, not the number 10 cans. Surprise!
Yeah. Yeah, no, the other ones I use like 2 of those. And if not, I use like 4 of the other one or 5 or 6. So it depends. I think if... That's the hard thing, that you do it and it's by eye.
Yeah.
And you just keep adjusting.
But because I don't know, I just don't have a feel. This helps me.
We need to cook one of these days together, Linda.
I'll bring my apron.
Okay.
I need to remind everybody quickly that you're listening to Coast Community Radio. KMUN 91.9 FM Astoria, Oregon. KTCB 89.5 FM Tillamook, Oregon. Streaming at coastradio.org on your mobile using the TuneIn app. This is Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers here with Linda Perkins and Norma Hernandez. We're talking Puerto Rican food. If you're just joining us, welcome. And you're going to be so hungry by the time we're through.
No.
I know.
So when you answered your sister, because she said you were on the radio, is she in Puerto Rico?
She's in Puerto Rico.
Oh my
gosh.
Usually
listens to us through tuning app.
Yes.
But that's so cool, because do you know what that means, Marianne?
What?
Our listener base is 7.
I know. No, it's actually 8. I forgot to tell you that last time we were together on Food Talk and you said that our fan base was up to 6. Afterwards, I got an email from someone responding to the do you freeze chopped onions question, which she does do. And she said that she was fan number 7.
Oh, yay.
So we're up to 8.
Hilda, it's number 8.
Ooh, we're closing in on double digits.
Ooh, whoa. And her birthday is Thursday.
Happy birthday, Hilda.
That's what we're going to Puerto Rico just to celebrate her birthday.
Oh, that's so great. I bet that there are some of you out there going, why do I know that this voice? Although there's probably nobody listening who doesn't know Norma from something because she's everywhere all the time. But one of the places she is on Sonidos Latinos one Thursday night a month. So
the second Thursday of every month,
yep.
You can learn Spanish.
And I think that you are the only programmer on this station who has a live dance party during your show every time.
Isn't that the truth? Yes, we have videos, we have dance competitions. We are quite a radio show that we are like, you know, we are a radio show of the future.
Yeah, that's right.
We hold cookies up to the microphone here.
Oh, I don't know. Gosh. I haven't seen videos of it. But how do you like to prepare pork shoulder, Linda?
I make those bao, those Chinese steamed biscuits. Yeah. And that's the main thing I do with pork shoulder. But I also make, I use that same dough and I make these taco-shaped things. And I use the pork shoulder instead of shredding it, I cube it. Mm-hmm. But same thing, like I just pretty much cook it overnight in the crock pot. And I'll just go buy some pork shoulder. I won't even season it. And I'll just stick it in the crock pot and I will cook it on low overnight with maybe, you know, just a quarter cup of water to mm-hmm. so it doesn't stick to the bottom. And then when I'm done, I'll season it when it's all pulled apart. So some of it I'll just put barbecue sauce in there mm-hmm. and make some pulled pork sandwiches. And then some of it I'll use in bao. And some of it I'll use in those Asian sliders. I think I have the recipe for that up on the food website. Mm-hmm. I really like it. But those are the three main things I do with it. But it's really versatile because it's just so fall apart. I've been doing experiments lately with other cuts of pork, your favorite pork loin, where I try to just cook the bejesus out of them and see if they'll go to that fall apart thing. But that's kind of hit or miss. Sometimes it just turns into shoes.
I could wear this.
I know. Time yourself while you're chewing. The clock goes around. It's so awful. Poor Dale.
Oh.
Poor Dale. He tries so hard to be polite, but his teeth hurt.
Yeah, I know. Pork loin and I do not really get along.
Yeah.
You know, something else that I was going to see if I can bring back from Puerto Rico is the breadfruit. Did you ever have breadfruit when you lived in Hawaii?
Yes.
I love breadfruit. And one of the things, you know, you cannot, and it's one of the fruits that they don't, or vegetable, that they don't let you bring whole. Mm-hmm. You have to cut it up. Mm-hmm. I don't know what could come in the skin of the, you know, the other stuff.
I think it must be an insect thing. I mean, I know that's why you can't bring mangoes home from Hawaii either. I don't know why.
And it's just one of, like, unlike the passion fruit that you have to open up all the passion fruit to bring it. But the breadfruit now, and we have this thing called mofongo. That is when you take the green plantains, very, very green, cut them in little pieces, fry them in low heat so they will not get crunchy. And then you go into a mortar and you just really smash that with garlic and put pork cracklings in it.
Oh my gosh.
And that's what you serve, usually used to be in the beginning with chicken broth on the side or with soup. But now you have it like with pork chunks, fried pork chunks, or with shrimp, or with lobster, with whatever, with conch meat, carrucho, which is so good having it with that. But now in Puerto Rico, they do the mofongo also with the breadfruit. And it is amazing. And I must say, when people wanted to try Puerto Rican food here, and I failed to invite you to my house, it's one place in Beaverton that is called, oh my goodness, it's a restaurant, it's a Puerto Rican restaurant, I think it's El Boricua. I can do it before, I check before the end of the night. And that is actually, like Tara said, well, it's not your food, but I thought that for being on a restaurant, they have very good Puerto Rican food. So you can find one restaurant in Oregon that has Puerto Rican food just at the end of 26th. Wow. It's on Canyon Road. So that's Beaverton or Hillsboro. I think it's Beaverton.
It's the cusp.
So they're on Canyon Road, like off 217. That it's a good Puerto Rican restaurant that people could try different mofongos. They have it also from the yuca. And I have tried almost everything there too. We went one day, three people, so we ordered one of everything, and then we couldn't walk. But and it was actually good Puerto Rican food. So it was interesting to me to find one place after living here 14 years.
It's nice to be able to try, especially if you don't know.
You know, yeah. I'm sorry, but that just makes me think that maybe you should open a restaurant. It's time for a career change. Oh, my gosh, I would go there. I would text you. You'd be like behind the counter.
Don't
be
talk
like,
to Tara. She's always saying that.
Yeah.
She's always saying, I'm hoping, you know, it's nothing bad, but maybe we should lose our job as I'm, you know, have a restaurant.
Like, a food cart.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah, no. She wants, and her dream is the Jeffers Inn's Garden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She always says, that's where we should open a Puerto Rican restaurant. I said, yeah. Are you kidding me? Are you crazy?
There's absolutely nothing self-abusive about opening a restaurant. Any restaurateur would tell you that.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing at all.
No, it's a walk in the park.
Yeah, it is.
we'll just settle for going to your kitchen, Norma.
Okay. Just let me know. Next time I do rice, I'll definitely let you know, Linda, so you and Dale. And Dale will not have to, his teeth will not suffer.
No. Poor Dale. Always experimented on. Sometimes he just looks so forlorn because he's trying so hard to be polite. And he's like, can we have regular food? Like without anchovies.
Oh, you could put them on the side. I'll come pick them up.
Yeah.
I was craving something with anchovies the other day. Also, Norma, you do fried chicken that is not your average southern fried chicken.
Yes, it's not.
What do you do?
It's called chicharrones de pollo. It's crackling, chicken crackling. And when you buy the chicken, you actually cut all the chicken in little pieces. Like usually the leg is into, the thigh is into, everything it cuts in small chunks.
With the bone, like you're whacking it apart, got it.
You're whacking it up, you just go to town with this thing. And then you put a lot of adobo.
You go all Dexter on it.
Yeah, you go Dexter. You go Dexter on it with a lot of plastic around to cover it. Put a lot of plastic to protect everything. Definitely wear your apron when you're doing this because I have seen things fly.
I'm ready.
And you just put like a lot of, you put the adobo, you season it. And actually the same thing I like to do it maybe the day before. So the meat really takes some crunchy, you know, some flavor into it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do also deep fry, you just have this big vat of oil. And that's when you deep fry this chicken. Oh, my God, the skin in it is just this crunchy. And you don't add anything else. No flour, no bread, nothing. You just go right into it. And I bet you can do it just if you do it at home. The same thing, salt and pepper and a little bit of garlic powder, a little bit of onion powder. Mix it up and deep fry it in little chunks. Telling you, this is going to be awesome. It's the way to do it. That is my favorite dish is white rice with pork fat, pink beans, which is something that actually the co-op has in bulk, pink beans. Highly recommend that people eat the pink beans are so much tastier than the red ones.
Okay.
Yeah, pink beans are awesome. And I like the pink beans with squash or pumpkin in it.
Are they called pink beans when you go to the co-op?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pink beans.
I just want to make sure that
wasn't
slang.
Yeah, and it's in the bulk section.
Okay.
And then the fried chicken. And I had that for my birthday last year. And because I was like, I'm cooking for myself because I want to cook what I like on my birthday. Mm-hmm. And everybody loved it so much that then Dulce said, can you make me the same thing for my birthday? So for Dulce's birthday, I made her the same menu. That is my favorite menu. And it's the menu that we're having when we go to Puerto Rico on Thursday. It's my sister's birthday. And we're eating that in her house that night. But probably red beans. She loves
red beans.
My sister loves red beans. But mine's are pink. But that is something else. You know, it's just the chicken. Oh, yeah. That fried chicken. It is off the hook. Yes. I got a lot of admirers of the fried chicken. People don't really like me. They like what I cook. That's it. That's what I have noticed. And it's all right. It's all right.
Well, you said something that has always struck me. You know, you said when you cook, you get to make what you like. And that is a real advantage of cooking. You know, yeah. You know you're going to like it. The other people might not, but you're going to eat something you like.
That's right. You're going to eat something you like.
And it's also a chance to eat something brand new that you can't get anywhere. Because mm-hmm. if there's only one Puerto Rican restaurant in the state of Oregon, the odds are we're going to have to cook some food if we want to eat Puerto Rican food, if we want to taste it. So that's the way with a lot of ethnic foods.
Yeah. And if I really cook and I get to invite like every friend that I have, I don't know what would happen. I think it will be I believe in big trouble. I need the fairgrounds or something.
We have managed to talk about food right up until 10 o'clock straight up. Thank you so much, Linda Perkins. Thank you so much, Norma Hernandez.
Thank you for having me, Norma. Ladies. So cool hanging out with you, too.